Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 15th of December, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today on the show we'll be talking to Sandy Harbour of Anchorage's Cyrano's Off-Center Playhouse. Bruce Salmon will be here to get us warmed up for tomorrow's Hallelujah Chorus in the SOB Atrium. We'll find out about Saturday's fundraiser at the Nugget Mall, Breakfast with Santa to benefit the Thunderman High School's girls softball team. And Nancy Gattrini will be here to give us a rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. At Writer's Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like rain and snow becoming all rain with snow accumulation up to 2 inches expected. Rain likely on Friday. It looks like rain predicted through the weekend.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa is calling for an independent study of a proposed iron ore mine in Wisconsin. Mike Simonson reports.
North Star Economics released a report in April that touted 700 permanent mining jobs and 3,000 temporary construction jobs from a proposed iron ore mine in the Pinoki Range. Trouble with that, says Bad River attorney Glenn Stoddard, Gugibic Taconite paid for the study.
It slanted in favor of the mine, and now we're seeing even more inflated numbers being tossed around as far as jobs and so on. And we feel that mining is a boom-to-bust kind of enterprise and that it's going to have negative effects, even if it has some positive effects on the region.
So Bad River Tribal Chairman Mike Wiggins presented a letter to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker at the Governor's Northern Economic Summit in Minocqua this week. Wiggins says his letter calls it foolhardy to base economic numbers on the North Star study, ignoring environmental concerns.
If there is a balance that they're trying to find, and they're only utilizing skewed corporate-driven data to essentially weight the economic side of the scale, that's not doing the people of the Northland or the state of Wisconsin or my tribe any good.
Meanwhile, Stoddard says whoever does the independent study must have no vested interest in its outcome and shouldn't be appointed by the Walker administration, which favors the mine. For National Native News, I'm Mike Simonson in Superior, Wisconsin.
The Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has decided to move a group of quarantined buffalo to a couple reservations in the state. Montana Public Radio's Dan Boyce reports.
Wildlife officials have been managing these bison in quarantine for over 5 years. They originally wandered out of Yellowstone National Park. The animals have been kept under very close watch because of fears of brucellosis. That's the disease which can cause pregnant cattle to abort their calves. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Wildlife Chief Ken McDonald says that is not an issue with these bison. They are disease-free.
These are probably the most well-tested and frequently tested animals of any kind for brucellosis.
The proposal requires the bison keep getting tested for 5 years to verify success. That didn't stop ranchers surrounding the Fort Belknap Reservation from voicing their opposition. The Fort Belknap tribe already owns a commercial bison herd of 400 animals. Rancher Vicki Hofelt says bison leaving the reservation have caused serious damage to her property.
10 years from now, are you guys going to come back and follow this up?
She says in the last year, bison have destroyed $20,000 worth of hay and caused another $6,000 worth of fencing damage, and that's just on her ranch.
It may be fiscally responsible for Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, but it's going to be a real hardship for the surrounding ranchers.
The proposal says the 68 bison will not be moved until the two tribes put forth plans to keep the bison properly managed with appropriate fencing. Chairman of the Fort Peck tribes, Floyd Azure.
These majestic animals have played a very significant part in the history, the religion, and the culture of our native people of the Fort Peck Reservation.
The Fort Belknap tribe needs more work on their fencing and infrastructure than Fort Peck. So Fort Peck is planning to hold all 68 bison until Fort Belknap is ready. Then the herd will split in half, with Fort Belknap taking 34.
We are responsible for them. As long as I am chairman, we will be responsible for those bison. I give you my word.
Both tribes do have commercial bison herds, but this decision marks the first time the wild and genetically pure Yellowstone bison will be under control of the tribes. The Montana Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks hopes to move the bison to Fort Peck before they start having young next spring. For National Native News, I'm Dan Boyce in Helena, Montana.
On this day in 2007, a ceremony was held in South Dakota to cleanse personal items of Sitting Bull. The Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History returned a pair of leggings and a lock of hair to descendants of the Lakota leader. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
If you are a Native American who experienced discrimination from the USDA while trying to get a farm loan, you can get free legal help with filing a claim at meetings held around the country through December. Details and a schedule of meetings is at IndianFarmClass.com or 1-888-233-5506.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is just about 3:06, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is Sandy Harper. She's in charge of the Cyrano's Off-Center Playhouse in Anchorage, located at the corner of 4th and D Streets. Sandy, thank you very much for being on the station today.
It's my pleasure.
So how would the person on the street describe Cyrano's, the typical person?
Well, I thought you gave a great description. You said it's a 12-ring circus, and that's because we do a different production continuously all year round, eclectic, all kinds of shows, and we're also proud of our world premieres. In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm in Juneau. Our resident playwright is starring as Scrooge right now at Christmas Carol for Perseverance, and we're going to do two more world premieres next season, and one of them is going to be Dick Reichman. Dick Reichman, yes.
Anchorage Treasure, and also, I guess you should say Alaska Treasure, and the performances are sold out, so if you haven't got your tickets to the...
I got a ticket. I was lucky.
Yeah. And other people might describe it as a 12-ring circus. How would you describe it, the Cyrano's Rest?
Oh, how'd I describe our programming?
Mm-hmm.
I think eclectic would be the operative word. We not only do different plays every single month, you know, comedies, dramas, originals, but we also do extra added events. For example, in January, we're going to do a reading of The Night the Rose Spent in Jail. The theme is civil disobedience, and that seems particularly timely right now.
Now, it started out as a bookstore?
Yes, we have a bookstore. It started out in 1987. We called it the Cultural Mini Mall because it was not only a bookstore. We had a cinema. We had art galleries and all kinds of special events.
Anchorage must have been a special time around those years.
Yes, indeed. It was wonderful. But it's still wonderful. The theater keeps us pretty busy 24/7 as well.
So you do a different production every month, if not more. How do you keep up with all that stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. And when I think about it, I'm not sure how we do it. But one thing is, theater is a very collaborative art. So there's a lot of wonderful people who make the magic happen, who work with us. And on our board, we actually have a lot of what we call artist-driven board. These people are also directors, actors, and playwrights.
Tell me more about you're working at the University of Alaska Anchorage students.
Students?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we do use a lot of students who are trained through UAA, and that's a wonderful theater department that they have indeed. And then sometimes once the students graduate, they work with us for a couple years before trying out their wings in bigger markets like New York or L.A.
How do you manage a new play every month?
Well, we kind of are like juggling plates up in the air. We're not just working on the one play. We're working, you know, three or four down the line. In fact, the whole season has some consideration. First of all, planning the season is what the challenge is, so we know what we will be doing, so we can marry the right director with the right material, then create the production team. And some plays are much more complex than others. Musicals are particularly complicated to produce, but we do at least one a year, and I happen to personally love musicals.
What are some of the other challenges you face?
Challenges are, I guess, economic, just keeping everything afloat, because we really are a volunteer theater. We do pay our actors stipends because it's very important to compensate artists for their work. But we are just cheap but creative. We use a lot of guerrilla marketing. We use a lot of partnerships with other groups in town. For example, along with the show we're doing right now, It's a Wonderful Life, the live radio show. We have a partnership with Public Broadcasting in Anchorage. They actually filmed our production at a studio, and it's going to be aired December 19th at 8 p.m. on KAKM Channel 7 and then on KSKA Christmas Eve. And on Pinkalicious, which is our second show, we have a double feature in December. Opening was a benefit for Best Beginnings, which is the Imagination Library. So in that way, they kind of launched it in the community. They used their networks and resources so people hear about it. But Pinkalicious was easy because it's based on an extraordinarily famous and popular children's book called Pinkalicious, which is an absolute franchise now. Silverlicious, Purplelicious. It's like it takes up a whole table of Barnes & Noble, all the products affiliated with this particular character.
How did you make the transition from a bookstore to a theater in the mid-1990s?
Well, you know, what happened in 1995 was Barnes & Noble and Borders both came to town. So it was hard to be a small independent and compete with them. I do notice in Juneau you have a couple of wonderful small bookstores who are independents, and so you're very lucky to have that.
What are some of the highlights over the past 25, 30 years?
Well, that's kind of a difficult question for this answer. For this reason, my husband and I were the founding members of Cyrano's Theatre Company and the Playhouse. He, my husband Jerry Harper, was an extraordinary actor and director, so I'm extremely fond of the things that he did. He actually also played Juno. He did Moonfruit the Misbegotten here, which was a great experience. He also performed one of Dick's plays called Money here. Also, Eric Wallace wrote a play based on Sidney Lawrence, which we did in Anchorage, toured here as well as Edinburgh. But, you know, what's my... It's the one I'm working on right now. You know, they're all your favorite children, and they all have wonderful stories behind them. We just did the 25th annual Putnam Spelling Bee. It was fabulous. Another one we did last... I'll talk about that. In 2009, we did get a grant because it was a statehood anniversary, 50th year. So we did five plays written by Alaskan playwrights on Alaskan themes and motifs. So that was exciting. We had everything from Time Immemorial written by Jack Dalton and Allison Warden about the history of the indigenous peoples of Alaska. We did one called The Big One, a chronicle of the Exxon oil spill, which Jan Welt, who is a good friend of our theater, also made a documentary of it, which was just shown as part of the Anchorage International Film Festival, sort of behind the scenes of creating this particular work. So each play has its own story to tell.
Now, to illustrate how eclectic your program is, can you list over the programs that you have for the next 12 months?
Yeah, I can. You want me to give you a little rundown?
Sure, please.
Well, we're going to open with Love, Loss, and What I Wore, which we got special permission from the producers because it's still running off Broadway. Generally, don't give the rights to a small theater in way up in Alaska for that. It's kind of a chick flick, but it's really wonderfully written, and we have five extraordinary actresses to do it. Then we're doing a play called Superior Donuts by Tracy Letts, who did win the Pulitzer Prize for Osage County, and it's about the healing power of friendship, and we have a very powerful cast for that. As you can tell, it's the people who make it happen. The secret of our success is the casting. The casting is almost 95%. Of course, it has to be exciting material as well. Then we're doing the very first play we ever did, produced independently, called Ella Mocenary by Lee Blessing in March. And this is just an exquisite relationship play between a very eccentric grandmother, her daughter, and the daughter's daughter. And then in May, we're doing Ten Chimneys, which is a real place in Wisconsin. It was the summer estate of Lunt and Fontaine, very famous actors during the 20s through the 40s. And in the summer, they would rehearse at this estate, and famous people would drop by. Like in this case, it was Uta Hagen and Sidney Greenstreet. And they were in this particular play, they're rehearsing The Seagull. So it's kind of a Valentine to the theater and to actors and actresses. And then we're doing a very unique play called Bob Rauschenberg America. It's extremely non-linear. You know, it's Bob Rauschenberg was a famous collage painter. So this play is like pop-out collages. You know, and in my marketing materials, I say, watch out for the skating chicken. And we're really lucky because our director for that is Stephen Giulio. He's a professor at UAF. He actually knew the playwright Charles Mee. And this was originally created by a theater company called City, and they do very, very push the envelope way, way out kind of stuff. And we'll be actually also doing that at the Last Frontier Theater Conference in Valdez, as well as in Cyrano's. And then we're very excited for our summer show. It's going to be a world premiere musical inspired by Leo Morgan's book, The Good Time Girls. Do you know that book, Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about the ladies of the night, but we're calling it the Gold Rush Girls. So it's going to be very, very authentic music. Lil's research, of course, is phenomenal. A lot of stuff not even in the book that she would shared with us, like, for example, in Fairbanks, you know, it never gets dark. So the ladies would plant red geraniums so the guys would know this is the red light district because you couldn't turn on red lights in the summertime. And so I'm excited about that one. And then we're going to be doing a play that is very unique. It's called American Dream, The Ballad of Juan Jose. And this is written by Montoya, who is a member of Culture Class. They're a famous Hispanic social satire group. It's hilarious, and maybe I'll read you the review of it. It's social satire with inspired comic genius. It plays as if written by the Firesign Theater, you remember them?
Mm-hmm.
And directed by the Marx Brothers, starring Monty Python. And so I'm very excited about that one. It's hilarious. And it really, they spare no one. It's fantastic social satire.
I've got a question about how many theater goers or tourists or how many are locals?
The majority of our cast members and directors are local. We do import a few people.
And the audience?
Well, the audience, we have a core loyal following and a lot of people who are just loyal. They just trust that we're going to do something wonderful. But in the summer, we do sort of court cultural tourism. You know, there's a lot of visitors, and we're at 4th and D where the Iditarod begins, so it's, a very good location. And a lot of people like myself, if I go somewhere and love theater, I go see the theater. So that's a natural extra audience for us. Also in the summer, people have guests and things like that, so they want to, take them to something entertaining and fun. And I think we're going to offer them something very special this year. Then after that, after American Dream, we're going to be doing Dick's play, our resident playwright, Dick Rushman. And it's called Bruckner's Last Finale. Now, Bruckner, Anton Bruckner, is a famous composer. He's considered the fourth B, Beethoven, Bach, Brahms, Bruckner. But his popularity has kind of been on a roller coaster ride, and some people aren't familiar with him. So we aim to change that, and we're going to be working in collaboration with the Anchorage Symphony. They'll be playing Bruckner's Seventh. At the same time, we'll be producing the play. And then we're up to December now, and we're planning a surprise special because it's the climax frosting of our 20th anniversary.
Well, the 20th anniversary of Cyrano's Off-Center Playhouse. I'm talking with Sandy Harper. What's the future going to look like for you? Do you know?
What'd you suggest?
What's the future of the theater look like?
Well, we're kind of in a transition right now, actually. And, of course, I hope we go on and on. Well, our aim is very simple, to do the best possible theater we can. And but it was a founder's theater. In other words, it was a vision and the culture that Jerry and I created. But now we're sort of evolving into what's called a working board theater. And so, I'm getting up there. So we have to think about what the future will be in terms of succession and who will become the artistic director. And of course, I'm hoping basically the core values will remain the same. But other people might be more collaborating and in charge and what we're going to do. And we're going to try to be much more aggressive and more sophisticated about getting larger funding than we have at the moment.
Well, the term playhouse seems to be aptly named.
Yes.
I've been talking with Sandy Harper from Cyrano's Off-Center Playhouse, located at the corner of 4th and D Street. Do you have a website and a phone number people could call to find out the next theater times?
Of course. And I also put on an e-newsletter twice a month, all those backstories and all the kind of fun information. Of course, we have a fan page. Like, everybody has social media now. But to reach us directly is cyranos.org. That's our website. And we welcome people to email us, and that's Cyrano, singular, at ak.net. And our number in Anchorage is 907-274-2599. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Perseverance Theater is also going to produce a few shows in Anchorage at the Performing Arts Center next year. So we're trying, you know, to partner with them and collaborate with them as well. For example, in April, we're going to do a reading of Clybourne Park, which won a Pulitzer Prize, which is about Raisin in the Sun 25 years later. So that's going to be lots of fun to work with our friends from Juneau.
It's been fun having you in the station here, Sandy Harper. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you, Jeff. A pleasure, and we love your magazine. It's hilarious.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 15th of December, 2011. The Bill of Rights was adopted 220 years ago on this date, 1791. 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, following the precedent set by the Magna Carta back in 1215 and the English Bill of Rights of 1689, which ensured the rights of citizens against the power of the Crown. A prime mover of the Bill of Rights was George Mason, who was a follower of the philosopher John Locke, who argued that government should exist for the protection of individual property and that all people were equal in the state of nature. Mason did not approve of the Constitution as it was written because it offered no protection to individual rights. And to placate him and others, James Madison wrote a Bill of Rights, which guarantees, among other things, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom from unreasonable searches and seizures, and the right to a fair trial. It's the birthday of the playwright Maxwell Anderson, born in Atlantic, Pennsylvania, 1888, son of an itinerant Baptist preacher. The family traveled across the Midwest. Anderson went to college in North Dakota, started his career as a high school teacher there. He was fired for his pacifist views, became a journalist in San Francisco and later in New York. He wrote a play in verse set on the North Dakota prairie, which closed after just 12 performances, and then he had some success with What Price Glory, 1924, and his Tudor plays, Elizabeth the Queen, Mary of Scotland, Anne of the Thousand Days. It's the birthday of Edna O'Brien, born County Clare, Ireland, 1930, who became a pharmacist in Dublin. She married, she moved to London, and there, when she was just 24, she went to a lecture on Ernest Hemingway, and she heard the first paragraph of A Farewell to Arms, which inspired her to try to write. It was uncluttered, precise, true prose, and she never forgot it. Her first novel, The Country Girls, took her 3 weeks to write. It was published in 1960, promptly burned by her parish priest, with her mother's blessing. The book, its 2 sequels, 6 of her other books, all banned in Ireland. She published a collection of short stories this year called Saints and Sinners. And it was on this date, 1939, the movie Gone with the Wind opened in Atlanta, Georgia. After 3 days of parades and costume balls and receptions, it was a state holiday. Jimmy Carter remembered it as the biggest event to happen in the South in his lifetime. The cast went to the premiere, except for the black performers who were prevented by Georgia's Jim Crow laws from sitting next to their white co-stars. Here's a poem for today by Kirsten Dierking, Shoveling Snow. If day after day I was caught inside this muffle and hush, I would notice how birches move with a lovely hum of spirits, how falling snow is a privacy, warm as the space for sleeping, how radiant snow is a dream, like leaving behind the body and rising into that luminous place where sometimes you meet the people you've lost, how silver branches scrawl their names in tangled script against the white, how the curves and cheekbones of all my loved ones appear in the polished marble of drifts. Shoveling Snow by Kirsten Dierking from Northern Oracle, published by Spout Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, you can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly editor's podcast at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:25, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. If your family has used AWARE services in the past year, you and your children are invited to their annual holiday party. Join them Tuesday, December 20th for fun, crafts, games, and holiday cheer. If you need more information on that or to RSVP, you can call Christine or Megan at AWARE. The number is 586-6623. Also, Capital Transit has implemented so heavy snow route changes until midnight tonight. Service has been discontinued on St. Anne's Avenue, Cordova Street, Davis Avenue, Lemon Creek Road, Franklin, and 4th Streets. With me here in the studio now is Bruce Simonson, not here to talk about snow, but here to talk about the Hallelujah Chorus and also a little bit of Bach. Bruce, thank you for coming down the station today.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about what's coming on tomorrow noon.
Well, tomorrow noon at the State Office Building, you should show up. Everyone should show up and sing in the Hallelujah Chorus. We did this last year as kind of a flash mob event, sort of unannounced to the public and surprise us all. But this year it's... Oh, we're letting the word out, and people should come. Just sing along. Alan McKinnon will play the organ there, and we'll have music at the SOB, at the State Office Building, at noon. And people should just join in and sing. It'll be fun.
I know last year was supposed to be a surprise, but I think the surprise wore off after a few days ahead of time. People kind of whispered about what was happening.
I think it was whispered amongst choir people and kept the surprise to, say, for example, state office workers who were surprised by it. But, it probably will be a surprise to many people, too, who just happened to be in the building at the time.
I'm not listening to the radio show now.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of work is it to put it together?
Something like a flash mob. It's really helpful to do rehearsals of the work before you do it. But on the other hand, the main thing is just getting the word out. And that's, this radio program is great for that. We also have email lists of all the choirs and singers in town, and we send that out.
What was the initial inspiration for it?
Last year, I think there was a video that came out of Philadelphia that was kind of famous in the Macy's store there. They have a huge organ, and there, I believe, it was something like 11 choirs were involved. They'd all learned it on the sly and just showed up. And so that was a YouTube viral, and then there was one that came out of Alaska, too, about the same time, a little later. So that was fun, and basically that was the inspiration. We can do that, so... And it worked really well last year.
What kind of suggestions do you have for people who want to sing along?
Just come and be boisterous. The space is pretty vibrant and live, so you're not going to be noticed. The louder you are, the sort of less you'll be noticed, I think.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. So it's a place for enthusiasm, and it'll be fun. So just show up and have fun.
And this weekend is the Juneau Bach Society's concerts.
Yeah, we have, as part of Handel's Messiah, we're going to perform on Saturday evening at Northern Light and Sunday afternoon at Northern Light. We're going to perform the first part of Handel's Messiah. That's the part that's traditionally called the Christmas section. And we have large choruses and orchestra, many soloists. It's really quite an event this year. It's going to be something.
About how many people are involved?
Well, the adult chorus has probably 50 singers and... both high schools are involved. The high school choirs each have 24, so there's another 48. And the Alaska Youth Choir has been involved, too, and there's 20 in that choir. This is kind of late in the season, though, so a lot of the singers, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of those singers will be not there because they're on travel and all that sort of stuff. I should say that this is part of working on Messiah for the full year. People are familiar with the part that's typically done at Christmas, but there are two more parts to it that are more appropriate to the spring and Easter time. And what this project is, it's actually Juneau Lyric Opera is sponsoring the full season production of this. And in the spring, we're going to perform the whole Messiah from cover to cover with choirs from the high schools and youth choirs. It'll be a big event at the end of April. So this is an opportunity to learn the first part of it. There are 20 choruses in all in the whole Messiah piece, so it's a lot to learn. One a week, it takes you 5 months just to get through the choruses. So it's an interesting project and a lot of fun.
And this could be Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, Saturday evening at 8 o'clock and Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at Northern Light.
And how can people get tickets?
Tickets are at the bookstores. You can get them online through the Jack Bandini program, the online ticket purchasing, or you can get them at the door.
And Bruce Simonson, anything you'd like to talk about we forgot to ask about?
I should say that we have new soloists involved in this production. People are familiar with some of Juno's really fine soloists, but this particular production of Messiah, and because Messiah lends it to trying new things. We auditioned in October, and I've got 12 new soloists. I think only two of them have been heard in like Bach or Opera to Go productions. 10 are new to town, like in the last 3 months, 6 months, or have been here for a couple of years, and this is their first outing in solo work. And you know, one of the things you might think is, oh, it'll be kind of spotty, but man, these guys are all good. It's really something. A dozen singers, I'd try to remember to name them all, but I probably wouldn't get them all right now. But it's interesting. There's some that are familiar in terms of, like, for example, John Haywood, who is really well known as a crooner with the Thunder Mountain Big Band and does that kind of stuff. He's singing one of the bass arias. There are a number of young college-age kids, some who have recently graduated from JDHS, who are going to be singing arias out of this. Terry Tibbetts involved and be singing one of the arias. It's a real special event, and it says Juno all over it, and your friends and people you didn't know that are sort of involved and are capable of this kind of singing will be there. And I'm just really pleased with the solos, and then the choruses, we've been working on that since October, and they're really tightening up, and it's going to be a great, great performance.
A lot of things to go see Friday at noon at the State Office Building Atrium. Mm-hmm. People want to get a good seat. At what time should they arrive?
For the atrium?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm guessing get there, get there when you can. It'll probably happen shortly after noon, so if you can get there by 12:15, at least you'll be milling around and grab some music and find friends to stand with and that kind of thing. I'd recommend getting there before noon.
And Bruce Simonson, thank you for coming by today.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
today, U.S. troops in Iraq lower the American flag for its journey home. They leave behind almost a decade of war and a fledgling Iraqi government.
Iraq's future will be in the hands of its people. America's war in Iraq will be over.
The U.S. military exits Iraq. That story later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Coming your way today at 4 here on KTUO News in Juneau, tonight at 7 o'clock on the Alaska Identity Project. Host Adrian Lopez will interview local author Lynn Schooler in the first part of the program, and Representative Beth Kurtula and Mike Levine from Oceana talk about Alaska's coastal zone management, past, present, and future, and the work of the Sea Party to promote a ballot initiative to revive the program. And that's coming up tonight on the Alaska Identity Project at 7 o'clock here on KTUO News in Juneau. In the studio now with me to talk about Breakfast with Santa and other fundraisers going on this weekend at the Nugget Mall, Stacey Polson. Stacey, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you for having me.
So Breakfast with Santa, let's talk about that first.
Yeah, this is the first time we're offering Breakfast with Santa. And Vintage Fair will be cooking a pancake and sausage breakfast.
That's not reindeer sausage.
No, I promise. It's not reindeer sausage. It'll be Saturday, 9 a.m. And to get tickets, you just call Vintage Fair. I didn't bring their number. That was silly. But the cost is $9.75 for adults and $6.75 for kids, and they can come and sit on Santa's lap. You can take pictures with Santa. They also receive, a candy cane and toy, and it'll be lots of fun. And that benefits the Thunder Mountain girls softball team.
All right, Thunder Mountain High School.
Yeah.
You've got some gift wrapping going on this weekend, I'm sure.
And that is also Thunder Mountain. They have combined the music department and their people-to-people kids who are trying to raise $7,000 each for trips. So they are offering gift wrapping for the next 2 weeks until Christmas during mall hours. And they are located next to Payless Shoes. We also have several performances this weekend. We are lucky to have the Taffy Dancers. That's the Arts for Youth Dancers. They'll be at the mall at 11:30. And then we have the Juno String Ensemble performing at 2:30. And at 4, we have Floyd Dryden Middle School's orchestra performing. So, busy weekend. We also have our giant stocking giveaway, and our drawing's going to be on December 22nd at 4:30. The giant stocking is on display in the window where the old plum tree was.
How big is the giant stocking?
It's big. It's 6 feet tall, but it's not just the stocking. The stocking itself is full of toys, and it's fun. So you can go and see what's in the stocking. But it's not just the stocking. It's also things that are donated by the stores. So we also have electronics from Radio Shack. We've got jewelry from Sweetheart Gems and the Jeweler's Bench. Nugget Alaska Outfitter donated a coat. We've got T-shirts from Gifts and Graphics. There's a lot of things, fun things, toys from Hearthside Books.
And how do you get a possibility of winning that 6 feet tall gift basket and more?
Well, there are entry forms available at participating stores, so you just look for our poster that says entry forms available here. There are buckets in each of those stores that collect the entry forms, so, and you have up until 4 o'clock on the 22nd to register for that.
A lot of fun, and no holiday gift here this weekend. Giving everybody a break? No holiday gift here this weekend?
No. No, we only have one in December. That gives everybody a chance to mill about in the mall without running into tables. Although they're a lot of fun. And our last Arts and Crafts Fair was very full. It's a big event.
And you've got a couple of new businesses coming into the mall.
We do. We have Office Max and Petco that are going to be opening the first of the year.
All right. Stacey Polson here talking about Breakfast with Santa and a variety of other activities at the Nugget Mall. Breakfast with Santa starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday, and people should get tickets in advance by contacting Vintage Fair. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I hope not.
Right.
It's such a busy time of year, I keep forgetting things. So.
Well, Stacey, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Mommy, Daddy, me and Patty used to have a house. We had a great big dog named Cody and a little cat named Mouse. We always had a Christmas tree with branches soft and thick. But then we had to sell our house when Daddy got so sick. Can you tell me, do you know, with Christmas Eve so near, we move around from day to day, will Santa find us? Bunch of toys, but last year he just couldn't find a lot of girls and boys. That time we slept in a car with no place for a tree, and it was hard to close my eyes pretending not to see. Can you tell me, with Christmas Eve so near, we move around from day to day, will Santa find us here? Can you tell me, do you know, with Christmas Eve so near, we move around from day to day, will Santa find us here? All of us at Christmas time. Patty wants a Barbie doll, and Mommy needs a coat. And I would like a basketball and a chocolate float. Daddy really needs a job now that he's not sick. We'd like a Christmas tree with branches soft and thick. Can you tell me, do you know, with Christmas Eve so near, we move around from day to day, will Santa find us here? Can you tell me, do you know, with Christmas Eve so near, we move around from day to day, we'll stand up.
North is Rain Country Reflections at 8, followed at 8:30 by Alaska Magazine TV. Then at 9, the Alaska Film Archives television series brings us great Alaska history through documentaries from our past. Are you interested in aviation camping? Maybe you'd like a glimpse of the Cessna 195. That's on the Aviators at 9:30. Watch these great programs and more tonight on 360 North and learn more at 360north.org.
All right now, head down, swing around, steady in the rear. Hands around the shaft, my lad, even with the ear. Keep your eye upon the ball, firm your left hand grip, that's all. That's the way a champion is made. Sliced it. Head down, swing around, steady in the rear. You hit it with an open face, that fact is very clear. Now, if you want to win, don't hit it outside in. That's the way a champion is made. No, topped. Head down, swing around, steady in the rear. You hit it with a lifted head and a rightward sway, I fear. Now remember what I said, don't look up or raise your head. That's the way a champion is made. Oh, shanked. Head down, swing around, steady in the rear. Your hips should turn at 45, though the neighbors think you're queer. Shoulders turn 90 degrees, keep a slight bend in your knees. That's the way a champion is made. Oh, skied. Head down, swing around, steady in the rear. Hold it just a minute while I shed a hopeless tear. I'd recommend perhaps you fare better shooting craps. You'll never be a golfer, I'm afraid. Holy mackerel! A hole in one! Thank you.
Something new from Charlie Hayden and Hank Jones.
Looking for a little stress relief? Check out the Holiday Barn Dance this Saturday, December 17th, 7:30 p.m. at St. Anne's Parish Hall, 5th and Gold Streets, downtown. Full Circle, featuring Greg Berger, Mary DeSmet, and Doug Smith, will provide live music, and Odette Edgar will teach and call contra dances. It's the perfect way to exercise your smile muscles and add joy to the season. As always, no partners or previous experience are necessary to join the fun. Free for Saga and JVs, discounts for seniors and students, Barn Dance this Saturday.
Up on K2 is supported in part by the Juno Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juno Artist Gallery is open year-round, located downtown in the Senate Building.
Time is 3:53 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juno here on a June afternoon where it's time for Nancy to turn you to scramble
Make it up.
Come on down to the station and tell me what's happening.
Oh, my goodness. I am completely kaflemped, or whatever they say. Well, a couple of things. Like, I know tonight, kind of flying under the radar, but is a performance of Santaland Diaries over at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. That is a fundraiser for the Glory Hall, and it's lots of fun. If you are a fan of David Sedaris, you know what this is all about, but... So head on down to that.
That's starring Ben Brown.
That's starring none other than Ben Brown, of course. We have the jackpot up and running, which is kind of why I'm preoccupied. I didn't remember it. I've been so busy over there. We have 9 holes, and they're open and ready for people. They're open now from noon until 5 tonight and tomorrow, and then from noon until 9 through the 29th. A Christmas Carol is sold out. However, I got a little thing from Ruth saying that they will be taking a wait list starting an hour before showtime. So if you did miss out, I know usually there's somebody might get sick or not be able to get in through this snow or something, and it's really worth trying to get to see if you didn't get to see it yet. So head on over to Perseverance Theater this weekend. They are running through Christmas Eve, so you have a couple of chances. Let's see. We have Santa on the Fire Truck running around. I don't know. It's always fun.
Starts at 6:30 by the tramway terminal.
All right.
We're going to Douglas as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice of him to come by. In this weather.
And he'll also be at the Nugget Mall on Saturday for a special fundraiser for the Nugget Mall.
And he's coming to the Arts Council on Sunday at 2:30. He's going to play a couple of rounds of golf. So that's a real good time to come by and see him, too, and you can do your little golfing thing at the same time.
And he's also going to be at the fire station about 1 o'clock.
He's a busy guy.
Yes, he is. He's got to get in shape for that big night.
Yeah, you know. And that's why he's coming to the Arts Council. All of the elves and whatnot are artists. He likes to support that. So the Theater in the Rough is doing their puppet show thing, the Shepherds, Wise Men, and Angels. That runs this weekend. The tickets are free, but the seating is limited, so they would like you to get tickets. We have them at the Jack. I think Hearthside Books has them as well.
Where is it going to be?
It's at 7:30 at Holy Trinity, and I think it is on Friday and Saturday, probably also Sunday. If you want to go on Christmas Eve, I think that's part of their family service at Holy Trinity. But again, I do suggest that you get the tickets for that because it is limited seating, and you don't want to miss that. We've got a barn dance happening on Saturday up at St. Anne's Parish Hall. It's Greg Berger, Mary DeSmet, the Full Circle group, and Doug Smith, I think Odette, is teaching things. We've got Handel's Messiah on Saturday, which is also lots of fun. They're also performing it on Sunday. Saturdays is at 8 p.m. at Northern Light, and Sundays is at 3 p.m. at Northern Light. This is started, the whole full-on Messiah is going to be performed in the spring. This is sort of part one, and it's a really nice thing to get involved in. If you're interested in singing the full-on Messiah, you might want to go to this and get yourself connected to the whole thing. What else we got going on? Wearable Arts, question and answer, 5 o'clock on Monday. If you are thinking about being part of Wearable Arts, you've never done Wearable Arts before, you're curious. If you have done Wearable Arts before and you want to share your expertise, come down to the Jack at 5 p.m. And meet with the rest of the folks. Florentino Lagandino is our director this year. It's a nice time to get to meet him as well. So let's see.
Don't forget about the SOB performance of the Handels.
That's happening on Friday?
Friday noon.
Yes, with J. Allen McKinnon on the big old organ.
And they'll be doing the Hallelujah Chorus.
Excellent. This is always lots of fun. This time of year, there's just so many things and so many ways to be doing wonderful things with your friends and family. And so it's kind of hard to keep track. But let's see, do we have any other arts and crafts things happening?
Nancy Junior, thank you for coming down to the station and talking about
stuff
going on.
Thanks for having me. I'll try to remember next time.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Bye.
You're tuned to KTUO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sirsuna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTUO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at www.ktuo.org. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to Juneau Afternoon today. If you'd like to be on or know someone that should be, please give me a call. My name is Jeff Brown. My phone number is 463-6425. Drive carefully, the roads are dangerous tonight.